Good evening and welcome to Primetime Sports. Big Game James McCarty with Jay Stemman. And I want to be positive tonight. And so with the Force, their season coming to an end, we'll get around to that at some point. And their matchup against Sioux Falls, which, by the way, I think is going to be a terrific series between Sioux Falls and Muskegon that begins on Friday.
Yeah.
Unfortunate overall that, of course, the Force aren't in it, but that should still be a fun series. For the Timberwolves, oddly enough, JT, our general manager, yesterday morning, I'm in his office. We're just kind of kicking around rocks. You know, we're sipping coffee in the morning. We're doing what I would call managerial things, which is basically just delegating work to other people while we talk about our personal lives. In which case, that's a funny joke. I was hoping for more of a chuckle out of you.
I was going to say, that's why I have extra things to do.
Yeah, well, you know, if you don't want to say, it's because you're efficient. That's why.
I thought sports director was above sports coordinator, so that's why.
Exactly, 100% it is. Uh-huh. So while we were just talking, it was probably like a 10-minute conversation yesterday morning, just kind of, you know, working through some things for the week, whether it was production, different things of those sorts. He's like, are you watching the Wolves game? I was like, you know, I've got a couple of errands to run. I got some obligations. I don't think I'll even be home until close to halftime.
Yeah.
And by that point, the Wolves were down 15, and I did not watch any of it. The Wolves got the crap kicked out of them in the fourth quarter, and they sputtered out. They've got a do-or-die game at the Target Center on Friday night. Then the Wild tonight in like 25 minutes, they're in Denver to either extend their season 60 more minutes or go home. And so I'm just looking at all this stuff, and I'm stressing out about it. I kind of want to scream at times, and I'm like, how are we going to stay motivated and upbeat about tonight's show? And so I've just kind of been thinking around a couple of things and want to stay lighthearted a bit. Of course, last night, for those that were listening or those who would like to and haven't had a chance to, go to WDAYRadioNow.com, click on either the podcast tab or sports, and you'll see Primetime Sports from the Tuesday edition. But we were talking about my adventure returning to the softball diamond and the excitement of that. And then the last day or so, I was kind of, you know, murmuring around. I'm like, God, I feel it's a little bit sore, you know, and whether in my legs and in my arms. And I'm like, why do I feel like just a little bit wore down? And I'm starting to process everything that had happened over the last week. And golf season started up, so I've golfed a couple of times. It was the Walleye Opener in Minnesota, so I was in the boat, which that's not the part that puts any strain on you. It's the getting the boat on and off the trailer multiple times in 25-mile-an-hour winds and lining that up and kind of going through that whole charade. I had, when I was waiting for family to come into town, I shot my bow for an hour and a half with a buddy, just kind of working on target practice. You put all those things together, some other obligations and errands, things of those sorts, and just all the different muscle groups that I've been using the last, you know, 7 to 10 days that, for the most part, I hadn't used for the better part of the last 5 months since, you know, lakes started freezing and we had winter come through last fall. And I'm like, man, you know, in a week or so, it's going to be a piece of cake, right?
Sure,
everything.
Absolutely.
But for the last day or two, I'm like, golly, I kind of feel like I'm a 41-year-old LeBron who just got done with a postseason run at this point.
I wish I was 41.
Well, I mean,
really?
What?
Really?
I was just trying to bring some lightheartedness to the show.
Yeah, well, here's the thing. I mean, we talked about like the number of different things you've done, just a variety of things. Okay, so you've put the boat in the water. You've gone out and you've picked up some extra hours at your second job where you're lifting heavy things. You're lifting tile, right?
Mm-hmm.
You went out and you shot your bow to kind of get that dialed in for upcoming hunting season.
We've been pretty consistent. We've went out 3 times in the last 4 weekends, which has been pretty good.
In the last, it's probably been a couple of weeks already, but you've tried out pickleball.
I bought my own paddle.
You guys, that's another story.
If you're listening right now, I challenge you to a pickleball match at Courts and Pints. I got my own paddle, and I tell you what, I know how to use it.
He's doing the ping pong, different spins on the ball. That's what he was doing.
That's because
he did one of those to me.
I'm super not athletic. I don't have agility to my side, and the speed is like that of a turtle. So you put all those together, same. I need every advantage I can get when it comes to swinging the paddle.
You've also done softball for the first time, you know, hitting and pitching and throwing, and then you've also done golf.
By the way, I don't think last night we had talked about, we just talked about me getting shelled on the mound.
Sure, yeah.
I went 2 for 5 at the plate.
There you go.
I felt real good. The funny thing is, so it would have been, I don't remember if it was a third or fourth at bat, but you know, after I get a base hit and my second at bat, I'm like, oh, that felt good. I like that. My second hit of the night, you know, just up at the plate, he tries to throw it inside on me. I rip one, open up the hips a little bit, rip it to left center field between the left fielder and the center fielder. It didn't get past them. And I don't have a lot of speed or energy or endurance on my side. And as I'm halfway to first, and our guy on first base, our first base coach, he's like, round it, and you can hear me. I'm halfway to first, and you hear me yell, oh, crap, I'm going to have to round it because I hit it so hard. And dude, the guys on the infield were just dying laughing. They're losing it. They're like, this guy just really just... He more or less, his humor is just...
It's the comedic
taking
relief.
It's comedic relief, just in taking shots at himself. But I tell you what, I literally hit a single to left center field and just yelled, oh no, I have to round the base now because I hit it hard
enough.
Yeah,
I got to go farther than I was anticipating.
I'm like, oh no!
Well, at least you could open up the hips and put it maybe closer where you wanted to. All I could do was just basically hit the ball as hard as I could. I had no aim whatsoever. But the point is, you've done all these different exercises. And what I will say about that is that when I do something I haven't done in a long time, whether I don't even know if it's rollerblading, you know, we played sled hockey in, what was it, February or March.
Oh, gosh, my arms were jelly for the next, like, 3 days after
that's why,
that.
That's why when I go to the gym, I make sure I do my arm workouts for those couple weeks leading up to
gosh.
It.
Oh, my gosh, yeah, no, I give it to them. I said, about what, Paralympics? Is that the technical term for it?
Yeah, Paralympics.
For sled hockey.
Yeah.
Those dudes, I mean, they look like Popeye.
Oh,
those
yeah.
Those dudes look like Popeye out
well,
there.
Well, I tell
know,
you what.
They eat their spinach and they get those workouts and their arms are, they look like bodybuilders in the upper
tell
half
you,
skating
I tell you
around
what,
on the ice and those things.
I tell you what, the sled hockey without having to use my legs, that probably is, it probably helps me a lot compared to the average athlete because with a bad knee and a bad ankle and being old, you know, I need any advantage I can get. But doing different sports, and if you haven't used a group of muscles you haven't done in a long time, and there's been times, and I managed to make it out of, what would that have been, prom weekend for my daughter. I managed to make it out of the weekend. My dad and I had to replace 4 different fence posts. We had to refix the fence in our yard. Got out of that without being too terribly sore or anything. My back was a bit sore. But there's been times, I don't know what sport or what activity I've done, I get sore in places that I'm not supposed to get sore in. I get done with doing something over the course of a weekend, and I get up the next day, and if you've done lower body workouts or something, it's in a spot that I don't think I can technically say on the radio, and it's not in the front, it's not in the back, it's somewhere in the middle-ish of a place that it's not one of the two places. It ain't this and it ain't that, and I think somehow I've pulled that ain't muscle, and I don't know how that's even possible. So,
description.
I know. All I can say is that sometimes when you do stuff you haven't done in a long time, James, especially as you get older, you'll be sore in spots you didn't think you were going to be sore in, and you'll be sore for days afterwards, and you're kind of like... For the longest time, you're like, what did I do specifically that caused this to be so sore and for me to be walking around like an old man? But for you, I mean, quite honestly, you can't narrow it down because you keep doing so many different things here in the last 2 weeks.
I think that's part of it. It's just like, I mean, you know, some people, myself included, when you do something new, you'll overcompensate with a muscle group of sorts, right?
Absolutely.
And that's why you're sore in one spot.
That's why we see professional athletes with a calf injury.
Yeah.
They have a calf injury, end up being an Achilles injury. You've got people with a knee injury, or actually one thing that I had is that I had a bad ankle playing basketball, and my knee started to swell up. So I went to our friend, one of the hockey guys, Dr. Johnson, right? Mm-hmm. And I'm like, Dr. Phil, my knee's getting all swollen up, but this is my quote-unquote good knee. What's going on? And he looks at my ankle and goes, well, your ankle's swollen up. When did that happen? I'm like, it's always like that. So my ankle injuries led to having a different knee issue. So everything is in line. And when you get old or you get injured, everything gets out of line and out of whack, and before you know it, you're overcompensating somewhere else.
Oh, very much so. I just like the last probably, you know, 2 days of just feeling it, and so, you know, I'm sure, you know, if you're listening in your garage having a beer, or you're running errands, or you know, heaven forbid you have the lifestyle where you're able to be on a boat right now, and I envy you to have that ability, because yeah. I would love to be walleye fishing towards the sunset time right now. I envy anybody, but I'm also happy for anybody that can do something absolutely. Of that sorts. Well, they're going, oh, stop your whining. What immediately I thought of when I woke up this morning, I'm like, oh, gosh, like, you know, like
I feel like I'm 41. I'm like,
oh, the hamstring, oh, the tricep, oh, the midsection, all that. I think back to the first week of varsity football practice as a high schooler every year. And every year, it did not matter if I went to every weight training session in the summer, which you had an option. You either went to a 6 a.m. session or a 7:30 session, and they had three of them a week in the summer. Some guys would go to one. Some guys would go to 30. Some guys would never show up.
Yeah.
Other guys that, some guys that didn't show up were sitting on the couch eating potato chips all summer and getting tubby while, instead of staying in shape. Other guys were farmer's kids and so they're throwing hay bales. Things of those sorts, right?
All the time.
And it did not matter how many weight training sessions you went to in the summer. Didn't matter how many times you helped a buddy throw hay bales. Didn't matter how many different activities you did, and you're outside riding bike every day, going through different training sessions. Yeah. We used to just flip tractor tires periodically just to kind of stay in shape so you can get the squat down and the explode. Things of those sorts,
I don't think we had enough extra tractor tires in my hometown.
Extras?
No, we did not.
Well, we would usually use blowing out ones, things of those sorts. Like local farmers would just drop them off at the school, and we'd use them for weight training purposes.
I'm old enough to know that when we had the old tire that was blowing out, you had to use that one to trade it in or whatever, get a different one. And so the farmers, you know, we were the generation that came up with, you know what, those are pretty doggone heavy, we should probably use those to work out. So thanks to my generation, you have your generation able to use those tires for just exercise rather than putting them on a tractor.
Exactly. Yeah. So but and thinking of all those different things, when I had woke up and I'm like, uncomfortable here, sore here, I think back to specifically, I've got two high school coaches. They were terrific, and I mean, they helped in so many things beyond football, whether it was, you know, maturing as a young man, it was helping graduate high school, all those different things. Our head football coach and then our offensive coordinator and offensive line coach, because, of course, me and a lineman, I spent a ton of time with him. But I can explicitly recall in the back of my mind when I was feeling this, and you know, going to practice Monday or two a day. You're at practice at, you know, 5:45 in the morning. We start at 6. You go till 8:30. Then you have this half hour break where we just lay on our backs, tired as all get out, gassed until 9 o'clock. Then we practice again from 9 to 11. Then we go lift weights for an hour. Mm-hmm. That's what we did.
Wow.
That's what we did, and that's just how it was. It was roughly around those time frames. It was like a 6-ish hour obligation is what we had every day if we had a weight training beforehand or afterwards, excuse me. Mm-hmm. But that's just kind of how our small town ran, and that's just all we knew. And of course, later into high school, you started getting more restrictions on if there was high heat or you know, weather or things of those sorts. You know, there's more limitations, more restrictions and whatnot. But I can recall back to that first week of practice, and you know, you'd be just laboring through Monday, and you're like, oh my, yeah, we got this. We got this. Mm-hmm. Yeah, we're feeling great. Tuesday, you're like, oh, this hurts and this hurts. And you're working through it. And by Wednesday, you're like, I don't know if I can finish the drill.
Yeah.
And I can just hear my offensive line coach looking me in the eye as I'm doing a bear crawl through the chutes or hitting the dummy with in the chest, or when we're doing our tackling drills, and just screaming, if you weren't such a lazy couch potato all summer, McCarty, you would be in shape and you wouldn't feel like you're 90 years old. You should stop being so dang lazy and get to work. The harder you work, the less sore you're going to be. And I'm like, that makes no sense. He goes, you're not thinking about it if you're putting forth full effort. And that was like the first week of every two-a-day practice for 4 years of varsity.
Oh, that's funny.
And that's exactly when I woke up this morning how I felt. Well, I could just hear him screaming in the back of my head, if you weren't so lazy all winter, you wouldn't be so sore.
Well, you know, now I move into the phase of my life where I go to sleep on the couch and I wake up and I've slept wrong somehow. Now my neck hurts all day. So that's where I'm at.
And so yeah, I know exactly what you're talking about.
Yeah.
That's the worst part about it. So hopefully that brightens somebody's day. And you know what? Hopefully my pain is somebody else's enjoyment.
And that's always a friendly reminder. Remember to stretch your ain't muscle.
Yes. Or the ones that you have no idea that you had until they're sore.
Always do a warm-up and a cool-down, folks, and drink your water.
Yes. I tell you what. I'm gonna be at the softball on Monday a half hour early. Specifically to stretch.
Something wrong about a 27-year-old have to get out there and get all stretched out before softball.
We got a 6:30 first pitch. It's 5:15. Why is James texting asking who can help him stretch out?
I already asked you about that earlier in the week. I'm like, you got there half hour early to warm up. I'm like, you're 27. You just show up and play.
That's what I thought,
you
too.
You don't have to start stretching out till you're 40.
Yeah, that's what I thought. You know, maybe back in the day, that was something. But nowadays, I don't know what it is. But no, I need that stretch time or sideways.
You truly are an old man.
100% I am. I've accepted it. Let's go to a break quick and try and regroup. And I'm going to swallow what pride I have left after this. You're listening to Primetime Sports at WDAY Radio. Welcome back to Primetime Sports. Big Game James McCarty with Jace Denman. And now that we've gotten our ailments out of the way for the night, hopefully. Hopefully this topic doesn't turn into an ailment. And that is going to be the Wild taking on the Avs in the next 10-ish or so minutes. And I've been fighting with myself on this because at times the Wild have played well in this series of Colorado. At times they've been outplayed. I think that Gustavsson getting his opportunity in game two. Yep. Not that he played bad of any sorts, but no. I'm still fighting with myself on accepting the decision that the Wild made there. And now that you have Jesper back in net, he played really darn well, I believe, in games three and four of this series. And now in game five, it's do or die with the Wild. You have the question marks surrounding how healthy the team is, how many guys will or won't be in the lineup, how aggressive the Wild will or won't be tonight. And so I'm very curious to see how things start out because, I mean, in all honesty, I could see this game going a couple different ways. I can see it going the way of this crowd is going to be electric and the Wild are going to try and shut them down early, shut them up early with a couple of goals, which would be incredibly tough to do, even though Colorado made a goaltender change themselves. I could see this game being, within a goal the whole game, and it's just electric there, and the Wild can squeak it out. I could see the Avs going up two rip in the first 7, 8, 9 minutes of the game because of the chances, the high danger chances that they're creating. Because if you look at the goals they're scoring, I think, for me, the most defeating goal that I may have seen the entire series to this point was in game four. Once on Monday night, I got back from softball practice. I picked up my dinner and got a nice steak bowl from Chipotle. And I was like, all right, this will be nice just to sit on the couch and eat while I'm up. I just got home because I got home right as the third period was starting and the Wild actually were down 2-1. And I'm like, golly, the Wild ended up tying it up at 2 apiece. I'm like, all right, now there's some momentum. Mm-hmm. Let's get the lead back. Let's work it. And the Wild in the defensive zone, they had a weird possession where they turned the puck over. And after they turned it over on the right side of the boards, they fought, got the puck back, worked it back down low. And then when they went to go back up the boards again, they lost possession a second time in a matter of about 7-ish seconds. And when they did it this time, there was, I can't remember his name for Colorado, who had forced the first turnover. He had worked his way towards the middle of the offensive zone for Colorado, the defensive zone for the Wild. And once they got that puck back, they just ripped it over to him. There wasn't a defenseman on him. And he just fires this one-timer up and over the left shoulder of Jesper, and just like it, just the snap of a finger, the split second where puck's on the board, puck on the board, yep. puck on the board, middle, oh, it's already in the back of the net. Well, it was so fast that it you know, he beats the shoulder raise there of mm-hmm. Jesper.
Yep.
And after you finally got some confidence back, some momentum back, the hometown crowd's behind yep. you, to lose the puck not once but twice in less than 10 seconds in your defensive zone. You're playing with urgency, yeah. but it feels like you're playing reckless at the same point. To give Colorado such a clean look, I am incredibly uneasy about tonight. But at the same point, with talking with a couple of people around the office, I had somebody this mm-hmm. morning tell me, "Well, you know, are you ready for the Wild season to come to an end?"
Mm-hmm.
And I said, "No." And he goes, "You're confident that they're going to win tonight?" And this is going to make you incredibly uncomfortable here. I said, I have lived my entire life being a Minnesota sports fan.
Mm-hmm.
I was bred to bleed Minnesota sports colors and passion and excitement and heartbreak and sorrow and therapy and mm-hmm. all the good that sometimes comes with it before all the heartbreak happens, right? The most Minnesota thing that could happen at this point now for the Wild would be down 3-1 to come out and win a gutsy, just labor-intensive 60-minute battle
right.
in Denver against the Avs tonight to force that game 6 at home and then lose 3-1 this weekend.
Yeah.
And get sent home, deflate the weekend, and ruin yep. every Minnesotan's weekend. Well, that's just, I hate that I say it out loud. It just feels like that's what we're setting up for. The Wild are going to give this swift counterpunch.
Yeah.
And I could even see on, is it Friday night, I think game 6 would be potentially in this series. I could even see that after the Wild pull off a tough victory tonight, it would be Friday at 7 on ESPN.
I think it'd be double up on necessary. Friday because that's when the Wolves play.
Yeah, exactly. I could see them getting the win and then even getting a 1-0 lead on Friday night against the Avs and then giving up a goal in the second period, giving up a goal in the third, and then that heart-wrenching, back-breaking, sorrow-filled empty netter in the closing seconds after controlling the puck for 90 seconds with an extra attacker. I'm envisioning it right now, and it makes me want to just scream.
Yeah, well, I mean, here's the thing. Kind of incorporating a little bit of last night's Fargo Force game, there was a possession that Sioux Falls had the puck. They were on the power play. The Force were killing it off because trying to kill off penalties in the postseason is crucial, right? What happened on this one power play is that we ended up having four guys all towards the right side of the goaltender there. We had three guys probably all fighting for that puck up against the wall. Another player was right there. Maybe it was two guys up against the wall, two guys over there. But everybody, if you drew a line down the middle of the ice, they're all on the right side of the ice.
Mm-hmm.
Somehow that puck squirts out of there and gets to the kid that won game 4 in overtime. He puts it, because he's standing in front of AJ by himself, puts it past him for a power play goal, which I believe gave him a 2-1 lead there. No, actually, that's what tied it up at 2.
Mm-hmm.
But if you look at the last four games with the Force and the Stampede at the USHL level, 3 games went to overtime. This last one was a 1-goal game as well. Every time Fargo would come out, the last 3 games, they got a 1-goal lead. Sioux Falls would be able to tie it up. Maybe Sioux Falls retook the lead, but then the Force would tie it up. But the Fargo Force could not get 2 goals ahead.
Mm-hmm.
So tonight,
it wasn't getting a goal to get the lead. It was at any point getting back-to-back
exactly.
goals to either stretch a lead or regain a
exactly.
lead.
Exactly. And so tonight with the Minnesota Wild, I think it's super important for them to get a couple goal lead and be able to try and play from out in front, because if they get down by a couple goals again, to me it feels like the momentum for Colorado with the home crowd is going to be almost too much to overcome. And that's why I was so disappointed in game 4 that they really, really had to have that game. And what I also don't like when it comes to hockey at any level, when I'm rooting for a team, It feels like the Sioux Falls game against Fargo last night, it seems like in some of these Minnesota games, it seems like with lack of shots, now sometimes there's lack of shots on goal because of defenders blocking those shots in front of them. But if you're playing down in your defensive zone more than you're playing in the offensive zone, that to me is a terrible sign. It makes me really, really uncomfortable. And at the same point, if you're in the offensive zone, you're getting these chances, you can't get one to get in there, the goalie's standing on his head, you're hitting the post, whatever, all it takes is one trip back down the ice to the other end to put the other team ahead. So I think they hopefully tonight can keep that puck down on the Denver end of the ice, get on the offense, keep the pressure on them, but don't make any mistakes. Don't give up those turnovers that cost us in game one and we gave up 9 goals in that game. They need to play from in front, number one. I'm super nervous about it, but as like you said, other than one team, I'm a Minnesota sports fan as well, and I'm used to having my hopes and dreams crushed every year when it comes to trying to win a title.
Yeah, I look at how I'm approaching it is the Wild are going to win this series in 7 games.
Yeah.
I just have that voice in the back of my mind that's screaming, be realistic. And being realistic for me has us being as Minnesota as it comes by giving hope and then crushing it at home heading into the week.
Maybe sometime, somewhere, maybe we need to get all of Minnesota sports fans to have positivity and know that it's going to turn out okay.
The
power of friendship, the power of positivity. Manifest your dreams to come true, whatever hippie thing you want to say. But sometimes maybe we just got to be positive and know that it's going to be okay. But at the same time, you know, it's sports. This is what we sign up for as sports fan, to either make your day or ruin your evening.
And we're out of time for tonight. Remember the city commission debate tomorrow night with Bonnie, Steve, and the crew. So Friday night, we'll be back for Primetime Sports. Have a great night, y'all, and God bless.
Yep, you betcha. Mm-hmm. Bye.